welcome to CAT Scan. It's brought to you by Integris. Local speaks louder than words. Mark Kolick is a former Prince George Cougars coach who is now an associate coach with the Kamloops Blazers. And lots of hockey to talk about your coaching career. But just before we get going, Mark, the world of the podcast is very familiar to you. As a matter of fact, you have one out. And it's with a former Prince George Cougar play-by-play guy, Dapper Dan O'Connor, who's now with the Vancouver Giants as play-by-play. How did that all start for you?
Well, you can thank COVID for that one. I mean, we were shut down. The Western League was shut down. Yale was the academy. CSSHL was shut down. And Dan and I were talking, and we've always been talking about maybe doing something. And then with COVID, the opportunity arose, and next thing I know, Dan's on my doorstep with all his gear, and we were recording our first episode that evening. So it just kind of took off from there. It was just casual. We thought we'd try it and see how it went, and you know, it's been kind of grabbing some legs on its own, and it's been fun. It's been fun. I enjoy it, and touching base with people that you come across in the industry, and you know, it's been fun.
So how many times have you been on the receiving end of a podcast like this one where you get interviewed?
Well, I did one. Our very first one was with Dan. He interviewed me for, I don't know, 40 minutes or so. But, yeah, not very often. It's a nice change of pace, Hartley. I appreciate the offer.
Yeah. So do you like being the guy that asks the questions, or is it a little bit easier when you're the one answering the questions like you've been so used to coaching most of your life?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. I mean, like I said, Dan does a lot of the prep work for us, and, you know, we'll have some questions that we throw out there and, you know, follow a bit of a script. Sometimes it doesn't stay on page, I guess, but, you know, I can do either way.
All right, well, let's take a look at, go back a little bit, and let's reminisce, because you started with the Prince George Cougars in 2012-13, and, you know, you're behind the bench a few years, and the one thing where you were the constant is when there was the ownership change, and they came in all as rookies, and you were that one person that had all that experience. Just sort of take us back to those days.
Yeah, I was originally hired by, you know, Rick Brodsky, and then Dallas Thompson was the GM who got the ball rolling in that direction. And, you know, just I enjoyed my time working with them. And all of a sudden, next thing you know, there's an ownership change about a year and a half later. And, you know, you're working with a new group of people, people that didn't hire you, which obviously always makes the people in the previous regime maybe a bit uneasy. And, you know, you don't really know where you stand. But, you know, I met with Greg, and, you know, he told me he wanted to keep me on as coach. And, you know, we talked a little bit about different roles within the organization. And ultimately, you know, I wanted to coach and move forward coaching. So that's kind of where we shook in. You know, then obviously they hired Todd as a GM, and Todd and I worked together, oh, geez, I don't know if it was three seasons or so, and, you know, and then we moved on from there. But I enjoyed my time in PG, and always enjoy going back, and I really enjoyed living there. I think it's a good community, and, you know, it's something that I've enjoyed and met some great people, and, you know, still when I go back with, you know, with the Blazers, you know, ran into a few familiar faces, you being one of them, and, you know, get a chance to talk to some people that I've got to know before.
Everybody in hockey says they love to beat your old team. I mean, that has to be true. And I'm not saying that the games with the Cougars are more special than other games, but, you know, it has to be fun to knock off the team that you were once with.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like it's, you know, you circle the calendar. We play each other so many times now, and I think they've got the better of us the last couple. But, you know, it's always fun to beat a team that you were part of before. And, you know, for me, it's really only been two teams, and Kootenay, which doesn't exist, is now in Winnipeg. And, and obviously Prince George. But you know, it's fun, but it's not something that you know, I sit there and hold in high regard, and circle the calendar and look forward to it.
Yeah, you're with the Kootenai Ice and was the coach of the year. I think that was 07, 08. You're there for 3 years. Just talk about now the fact that there is no WHL in Cranbrook. There's a BCHL team there, and they went to Winnipeg. Did you have any fond memories? Did you think that Cranbrook could be a WHL center? What are your views about the fact that the Ice had to leave?
Well, ultimately it came down to support financially. You know, just kept losing money from what I understand. I wasn't part of the inner financial workings of the team, and just speaking with Jeff and Chanel at that point, it just wasn't viable. I mean, the attendance was dropping, and to a point where they didn't feel it would be sustainable. So ultimately they looked for ownership, and I think the current ownership tried it in Cranbrook for a year or two, and then ultimately got permission to move it to Winnipeg. But I enjoyed my time there. I was there 3 seasons before I went to the American League. And, you know, again, everywhere you go, you make friends and have some relationships. And my sister's there. She's been there with her husband and family now for, oh, I don't know, north of 20, 25 years. Cranbrook is home. So, you know, it was good to have some family around and for my kids to have their cousins and whatnot. And, but it was great. It was a good time. And, you know, we had some success on the ice as well. So that was fun. And, you know, with coaching, you're not really in the same center very long. And, you know, for us, it was 3 years before we moved on to New York.
Yeah. Syracuse Crunch, AHL. So most of your experience has been with the juniors, even going back to the BCHL days. But you did have that opportunity for 2 seasons working with pros. Is there a preference for you? How big of a difference? How big of an adjustment? Just sort of give us the 2-year synopsis with the Syracuse Crunch.
You know, that opportunity for us came out of the blue, you know, we had an opportunity to work with the Anaheim Ducks at that time. That was their affiliate. And, you know, it was a situation where, you know, you had an opportunity to work pro and be a head coach. And the hockey part for me was excellent. I enjoyed working with the athletes. I mean, I still remember the very first practice that I had, and just the attention to detail, the effort, the drive. I mean, they were just very self-motivated athletes, and they just want guidance. And, you know, you're there to provide guidance and obviously to help with development to try to get them to the next level. But very self-motivated, you know, and very driven athletes to work with. And in juniors, it's, you know, sometimes you're poking and prodding a little bit and still teaching the young athlete how, you know, consistency is part of it. At the pro level, they seem to have all of that figured out. Albeit there are some young pros too. We had some young guys as well. Kyle Palmieri played for us at 19. You know, I think Nick Bonino was, I want to say he was about 22 maybe. And, you know, we had a young Pat Maroon in there as well. So 3 current NHLers and some Stanley Cup winners in there as well. But it was fun. They were pretty self-motivated. And, you know, the older guys that we had, Joe DePinto was a captain, Josh Green, Camrose boy was helping me out. JF Jacques helped me out a lot. And, you know, so that was, you know, the memories that I have, they're quite fond.
Your last season with the PG Cougars was 15-16. Then it was the next season when the Cougars had their best regular season ever. They lost the first round of the playoffs. But that particular Cougar team had a lot of experience. They made a lot of trades to try and go for it. They ended up first, but they failed in the first round of the playoffs against Portland. I'm bringing that up. I want to know from your perspective, what was it like knowing that your tenure in Prince George had come to an end, and then they had, you know, that good regular season following because of a lot of the experienced players that they brought in and trades and everything. Was that difficult to deal with, or were you so experienced in hockey that just, hey, that's the way the game goes?
Yeah, no, not at all, hardly. I mean, again, there's people that I know there that were in the organization, and you're still in touch, and you're not having any ill will or anything like that. I mean, a lot of those kids that had good seasons were part of, I would like to think that I had a little bit of a hand in some of their development and moving forward. But, so it was good to see them have some success like that. I mean, and at the end of the day, I was working as well. I was moving on, and I think I was in Italy at that point. And, I had my own job to do and my own focus. And, you're in a situation, and then it's time to move on, or you get moved on, or whatever the case may be. Just you're professional enough to just kind of move on and get ready for the next position, which I did when I was in Italy.
Yeah, so Italy, 2016-17, 2017-18. How did that opportunity come about? Talk about the Italian league, and give us an idea. Like, would the team you coach, even though they were pros and older, they wouldn't beat a WHL team, though, would they?
Oh, I think they would, yeah. We had some young players. I mean, there was a mix of some guys, but, I think we had a defenseman who was 17. That situation, you're allowed four imports, so four non-Italians, and we had, at that time, my first year, we had three. We only had the budget for three, so we had three Western Canadian players and that we brought in, and Wacy Rabbit being one of them, and Shane Weeb, former Blazer, one of them, and Wheat King, I believe. And then a guy named Corey Pritz, who was at the University of Calgary. He was a West Side Warrior as a defenseman. So those three guys came in as imports. And it was called the Alps Hockey League. It was, it's kind of like the East Coast League level, maybe. We practiced in the evenings, which was interesting, 7 o'clock. The Italian players, a lot of them had full-time jobs, ranging from, working on a farm to maybe in an orchard to school teachers in businesses. So they would work during the day and report to the rink around 5:36, and we would be on the ice from 7 to 8. And we played Wednesdays and Saturdays. And there were no hotel nights, and their longest trip was 4 hours, so we would always go in and out. And you'd usually play, one game away, one game at home, depending on how your schedule went. But it was a great experience for me. The lifestyle, it was in a town called Brunico, northern Italy, right at the top of the boot, right very near Austria. We were about an hour from Innsbruck, three from Munich, from Germany, and right in the right into the Swiss Alps. So it was a really, it reminded me of the interior of BC. But really, really neat part of the world, and I was happy that I had an opportunity to experience that.
So you said that the caliber is about the same as East Coast Hockey League. How many fans would go to those games?
Well, at that time, the rink held about, 2,500, and we would get that. On a good Saturday night at home, you'd get that, and it's almost like European soccer/football. It would, the crowds there early, they're in the parking lot, they're tailgating, they're singing, they're dancing, and it's just a real, real big event. And it caught me off guard. The first game that we had at home where there aren't seats in the rink. It's just railings, and you just stand and you cheer and you sing and you drink and you just, and with that, the pressure, is to win. I mean, there's a lot of, pressure for everybody to have success. They don't want you to lose. And certainly in European hockey, they change coaches very, very quickly if you don't have success. But we had a pretty good team that year. And unfortunately, in the playoffs, all of our imports were hurt, and one was suspended. So we didn't have any imports for the playoffs, and we lost in the first round. Which kind of sucked for us, but, we had an opportunity. I thought that if we were healthy, and I think we had a chance to maybe get all the way in there, but ultimately it didn't work. So But my time in Italy, I really enjoyed it. And, you know, we met some, again, met some great people. And my assistant coach there is now coaching in Cortina. And his daughter and her friend came over to visit us. And, you know, still keep in touch. And people go back and forth all the time. So I still have a lot of people that I speak with back there.
The food in Italy, it's as good as advertised?
Oh, yeah, it's great. I mean, the one regret is I didn't have a chance to go down south, you know, get to Rome and see that part of the world. But, you know, just to spend some time in Innsbruck and Bolzano and, you know, Munich. And, you know, we had some opportunity to go to Oktoberfest and experience that. It was a really, really fun time for me professionally and personally. And, you know, Janet and the kids have an opportunity to come and visit and spend some considerable time over in Europe and travel. And it was as advertised. It was excellent.
So did the family move with you, or how did that work?
No, my daughter was in school. Kennedy was still in grade 12. So, you know, Janet would come for, I think she came, I was gone for, I would say, 7 months, and she came for three of those, I think. So it was a pretty good trade. Once, you know, she'd come spend a month and then go home and take care of the home front, come back for a month. And then the kids came for probably mid-December to the end of January. So that was in their schedule. It was allowed for them to come. And so we got to spend some time together. And then I was home at the end of, usually by mid-April, end of April.
As a coach, do you know or sense when things may be coming to an end, or is it always a surprise, whether it was Prince George or Italy or AHL or wherever? I mean, you've been a career coach, you've seen this game so often. Do you have a sense of what it's like, or is it always, wow, I didn't see that?
Well, normally, yeah, you do. You pretty much do. I mean, you can just see what Travis Green went through here with the Canucks. I mean, you just, you know, as a coach, I felt for him, and you know, it's you try. You're always, that's your job. Your job is to try and get the most out of your players every single day, and you're racking your brain, and you're, you know, what's going to work today, and how can I do things different, and you're always, you know, in search of how can I get our group motivated, and sometimes it's just time, and you know, you can sense it. You're almost waiting for that other shoe to drop. And, you know, it is what it is. It's a tough profession. And, you know, for coaches, it's tough, but it's rewarding as well, and helping and having part of, you know, shaping some players and their development. But for when things are good, it's good. And things are bad, it's sometimes can be more difficult for the families to deal with than the coaches. I mean, we know what we're getting into, but, you know, sometimes when things aren't going good, it's a lot more difficult on the families than it is on the coach.
Would you, as a coach earlier and even now, take the mood of a loss home? Are you able to separate that? Or were you bad at that early and you've managed to overcome that? Like, just how is that, or how are you? How are you now? I know it's an associate coach now with the Blazers. We're going to get into that. But the wins are great, but the losses, do you take them home, or have you been able to overcome that?
Well, no one likes losing, hardly. I mean, you have to learn how to, you know, keep it, I guess, real. I mean, you know, for me, losing a game, we always want to, you know, what went wrong, what happened. You know, I always, you know, we're watching video chances for, chances against. You're watching different parts of your game that you've got on video, and seeing where the corrections could be. And things happen quick. You've got 68 games. Like, I think we got 41 games after the break here coming up, and, you know, so things are going to happen quick. We start 4-5, so, you know, you've got to analyze quickly and try and, you know, you can't really keep that with you. I mean, it's not like football where you got a whole week in between and, you know, something can sit with you for a day or two. With hockey, and the games come, you know, fairly quickly, you've got to, you know, watch and almost be prepared for the next team real quickly. So it can't sit with you too long. you know, at the end of the day, maybe early in your career, you get a little sour and it stays with you a little more. But right now, for me, it's, you know, we lose a game, we want to try and fix it and see where it went wrong and try and repair that before the next one.
You're listening to Cats Cast, brought to you by Integris. Local speaks louder than words. We are speaking with former Prince George Cougars head coach and now Kamloops Blazers associate coach, Mark Hollick. Just before we talk about the Blazers, your role there, three seasons as head coach of the Yale Hockey Academy Prep. That's where you landed and took a job after Italy. Tell us how that came about and the experience there.
Well, after Italy, I don't know if you know, but Janet was fairly sick, and it was very, very serious for a while. So it was, for me, it was a, you know what, we're going to take a step away and a step back and stop pursuing. And, you know, this kind of came up. I ran into Aaron Thornton and Brad Bowen at an event, and, you know, from that, you know, was in touch with Billy Wilms and managed to, you know, was fortunate enough to go work at Yale. And for me, it was, you know, a little more stable environment. You know, we could be on the coast here in Vancouver without any sort of worries of, you know, the pressures of coaching major, junior, or pro. And, you know, for me, it was almost a time to just unplug and be there for my family as they were for me and in my career. So get Janet through what she needed to get through you know, have Kennedy finish school and get into university and then be part of a great organization like Yale. I mean, the boys there were, the staff was welcoming and the players were awesome to deal with, and it was neat to be on that side of it and just be there for their development and trying to, again, shape them into young men as well as hockey players.
Janet, your wife, how's she doing now?
She's doing good. Yeah, we seem to be all good now.
Good. Okay, so how did the Kamloops Blazers opportunity come about? Was it just as easy as, you know, Sean Clouston giving you a phone call saying, I need a right-hand man? Probably a lot more to it than that.
Yeah, it wasn't something that for me was in the works. Again, like I said, we were real happy with how things were at Yale and the life we had here in Vancouver. And Colin Robinson is their trainer. We've been friends for 30 years or so. And he gave Cluey my name and said, maybe you want to get a hold of this guy, which ultimately, you know, Sean reached out and we ended up having lunch here in Vancouver for a few hours. And then from there, it just kind of progressed, you know, a couple phone calls here and there. And obviously, you know, I liked what I heard and he liked what he heard. And we ended up, you know, I wasn't going to move forward without obviously speaking with Janet and Kennedy. And it worked out where, you know, we felt that this would be a move to pursue. We, you know, it's a good organization. I've always had, you know, a high regard for the Kamloops Blazers and, you know, their ownership group. And Mr. Gilardi is their the owner as well, and you know, just for us to have an opportunity to work with a team that's maybe on the cusp of something and work with some good athletes, and it just kind of all aligned. And you know, and when Sean offered the opportunity, you know, it was a chance to work with someone who's had success and had experience as well. And I thought that you know, we as a family thought that it'd be a good thing to pursue and try, and that's where we are.
But for the last 20 years or so, maybe not quite that long, but pretty close, you have been a head coach. I want to know the adjustments being an associate coach.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie, Hartley. It's, you know, you're an assistant, and for me, it was probably still is a bit of an adjustment. You know, you're there in a support role, and like I said, it's been real good working with Sean and you know, learning, and you know, even at our age, both of us are the same age, but I think that you know, you have a chance to see how he operates and what his vision is, and I think that's what made it so, I guess, attracting, because we want to play the game a certain way, and we want to develop the players a certain way, and I think that the commonalities there, I thought, were good enough for us to work together. And like I said, you're not a head coach, you're more of a support role and you're more of a development role. And I think that, albeit, Sean wants a lot of input and asks a lot of from me, which is real good. And it's been a great relationship so far, and I look forward to, obviously to having more success down the road.
In your mind, are you as good as an associate coach as you were as a head coach, or are you not at that stage yet?
I don't even know how to answer that. I mean, in the role I'm in now, I enjoy it. I like it. I think that, you're developing players, and then, you're having a lot of meetings and with players as groups or D pairings or as power play units or whatever it may be that you're responsible for. So for me, I'm enjoying it and working as hard as I can to so that we can have success and help players move on.
So you're 53, which means you got a lot of time behind a bench. And obviously it would go without saying that being a head coach again in Major Junior would be a goal of yours.
Possibly. I mean, right now, like I said, we're taking this a step at a time, and I was always talking with Janet about just being in a situation that, we felt was, a solid situation, and we feel we have that in Kamloops right now, and working with good people, like I said, with Sean and Toledo and the ownership group and obviously the players, and we feel that this is something that was worth pursuing because of that situation. And if something were to come up, I think it would have to be a situation where there's very similar to what we have right now.
So the Blazers have a very good team. And I want to look at the whole Blazer team. I mean, you've missed some key parts. Especially, goaltender, top scorer being away with the Canadian junior team. But when the Kamloops Blazers have everybody available to them, they are very good. It's been very clear they're the top team in the BC division. Doesn't mean you can't be knocked off or anything like that. But when you take a look at your team, Kamloops, when you look at Everett, and Seattle, those three seem to be the top of the West. And then you look at the two elite, Winnipeg and Edmonton, and I don't know how closely you follow, the East, but is Kamloops right there in your mind at the top, or do you still have a little way to go to get to where maybe Winnipeg is?
Well, I don't know a whole lot about the East. Obviously, we've watched some games, but it's pretty hard to compare, not playing them, but, out here, you've mentioned the teams, I think, Everett and Seattle and ourselves. I mean, I wouldn't even count out Kelowna, Vancouver. I mean, PG's knocked us off the last two. I mean, it's the beauty of the league is you've got to play the games. And yeah, you're right. And we're missing a couple guys here and there. We've struggled a little bit going into the break as far as some injuries as well piled onto that. But, for us, it's just trying to get our game in order and play the game a certain way. I think when we play together, when we play with structure, when we stay connected, when we have that support, I think we can have success. I think when we don't have success, we get away from that. And I think that, that's the challenge as a coaching staff is just to consistently get our guys to play the game and revert back to their structure. And that's the best part of it is trying to figure out ways to get our game as consistent as possible.
And when you're making mistakes, you got a guy that can erase them. And Dylan Guerin, very fortunate to have that kind of a goaltender, so you know that on off nights can carry the load.
Yeah, he's something else. I mean, he's... for me, I didn't know a lot of the players coming into this, and just to see how he prepares every day, whether it's practice day or a game day, just to see the preparation, the amount of focus and time and professionalism that he takes into preparing himself, his body, his mind to be successful. It's no surprise to me to see how successful he's been, just to see how hard he works to prepare to compete, whether it be a practice day or a game day.
So with this being probably his last WHL year, I know technically there's a chance he could be back as a 20, but let's assume that's not going to happen. Is there a little bit more pressure on the Kamloops Blazers this year to have success in the postseason, knowing that, you know, this may be his last year with the team?
Well, like I say, I think you got one of the best goalies, I think, in the country. I mean, there's certainly some good goaltending in our league. I mean, you look at Edmonton and Everett and, you know, even PG Gauthier. I mean, he, like I said, played us pretty well the last two starts. And, you know, there's consistent goaltending throughout. But, you know, when you got a guy like Dylan, you want to make sure that you have some players in front of him. He certainly makes us look real good on some nights when we're not so good. I mean, I don't know if there's pressure, but there's certainly when you have a goalie of that magnitude, you want to try and have as much success as you can.
So you're a little bit of an older team, especially in comparison to the Prince George Cougars. What do you see in the Cougars? You've seen them enough times. You know they've got a lot of young players. You know that they're just trying to make sure that they can get a playoff spot and get that kind of experience and everything like that. When you look at the Cougars as opposition, what do you see?
Yeah, just what I said. I mean, you know, they're a group that works real hard, and you know, the starts and goal. I think the last two with Gauthier's played us pretty good, and you know, their defense has good size, and you know, their forwards, they work extremely hard. And I think, you know, like I mentioned with our team, when they play well as a group, and they stay within their structure, and they're on top of on the right side of the puck. You know, a lot of the time, and they force you to have to get through, you know, their four or five guys to get to their net. So Lammer's got them going pretty good. And, you know, and when they play to their structure, they're a tough team to play.
Right. Well, I appreciate your time, and we will keep in touch. We'll keep following, obviously, you with the Blazers and everything like that. And you said how much you enjoyed your time in Prince George. Anything in conclusion, anything sort of stand out from your years in Prince George, whether it be behind the bench or something with the interaction with the players or something about the city or anything that sort of, as you think back to your days in Prince George, oh yeah, that was sort of neat.
You know, I just, again, it was just being part of that community and getting to know people even just outside of hockey. I mean, I was part of, you know, Ralph got me involved with a group of guys that, you know, we were at the golf course almost every day in the off season and having a chance to meet people out of hockey and obviously meeting people within the game, you know, the Dan O'Connors and the Chicos and, you know, the guys like that, the Ralph Postereros and guys, you know, like yourself, Hartley, that, you know, you otherwise you don't really get a chance to know on a different level. And for me, I enjoyed my time. I really, really did. We had a great place to live. And, you know, like I said, it's, you know, you can do a lot of things. And I enjoyed playing golf, like I mentioned earlier. I enjoyed, my son was an outdoor guy, so he was always fishing and, you know, in the areas there where you can do that. And you know, you can, it's in abundance up there for sure. So enjoyed my time. Have a lot of, you know, like I said, people that I know and have some people that we keep in touch with and some real fond memories of our time up there.
All the best in the new year, 2022.
Thanks, Hartley. You too. Merry Christmas, and I'm sure we'll see you again.
You bet. Mark Hollick is a former Prince George Cougars head coach, now an associate coach with the Kamloops Blazers, and you've been listening to CatScan, brought to you by Integris. Local speaks louder than words.